of worship and prayer, which is really what our hearts beat for, isn't it? Almost even more than anything in art. But we're just going to have a look, as we did earlier today, at North America, at what art is doing in Europe. But I just want to say at the beginning, isn't it amazing to come together as nations from across the world and finally have this family stamp? And the expressions of art are all so different in different places. And nations, it's just extraordinary to find that we are all just of one spirit, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, we will be all of one spirit here. We won't probably every single person have the opportunity for a really deep conversation with every single other person. And yet we know that we are a family. And I just thank you, Beverly, where are you? Hi. Thank you and Cheryl so much for earlier today. And in anticipation, thank you for tomorrow, Charles. And we're looking forward to the other continents developing as time passes. I just want to say at the outset with Europe that I believe we've got to recalibrate our minds when we think spiritually about the nations of the world. Traditionally, I guess we all think, most of us here would be thinking about the developing nations as being in Africa largely, perhaps parts of South America, perhaps parts of Asia in some senses. And we think of the kind of developed world as the Western world, don't we?
Yeah.
Europe with all its history, America with less history but lots of development. And I think we need to begin to consider the way that God is looking at things. And I think Europe now is the dark continent. Europe has the gospel. In fact, we've heard this eloquent presentation by Peter this morning of how the gospel first, it came from the Middle East, it's rooted in the Middle East, and then first on its journey it entered through Philippi. And of course many of us here with our Lydia connections have a great affection for Philippi and Acts chapter 16. So Europe then developed, and as he explained this morning, Europe then developed all its history and its culture rooted in Christian principles and Christian law, and we've thrown it all away. And, you know, in Britain, our hearts are very broken because we've done all sorts of terrible things. I remember John Malindi kind of prophesying years and years ago about how there was a project to completely disempower Christianity in the West. And really, that's what we are seeing in Europe. And so I just want to ask you, first of all, ask the Lord to recalibrate your mind about what you consider to be the developed world. Certainly in spiritual terms. And as we begin looking at Europe, I just want to look at three really strong art principles that bind us together out of John chapter 15, which is a wonderful passage we all know incredibly well. But it just enshrines some things that are very precious to us as art. And I want to look at verses 9 through to 16. So it's not a very long passage, and I've just got three things to say about it. Just so that you know where we're going now for the next hour or so, all included, I'm just going to share a few things, and then I'm going to ask Jenny, Jenny who's next to Charles, to come and give you a little update on what's happening in the UK. I obviously live in England, but I have entirely given over the responsibility of the UK, hooray, for Jenny, who is brilliant at it, with a team, while Charlie and I really have found increasingly our hearts burdened for, I would say, as well as in love with Europe. It's both those things. You get burdened for things and people that you love, don't you? 56 nations. We have a lot of languages to cope with. And so just let's look at these scriptures together, starting at verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Oh, so simple. I have told you all this that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Excuse me. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything that I learned from my father, I've made known to you. Everything. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I didn't just choose you, but I also appointed you, appointment, to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other. Now these scriptures, scripture is meant to be something that travails our minds. We all know that. But if we are a meditating people, and so there are often things in scripture that are quite difficult to understand. You know, we've asked for a lot of things that we have not received. And there are many reasons. God always does answer prayer. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says wait. And, you know, I think it's Billy Graham's daughter who says how grateful she is that the Lord said no so many times to her, particularly about people she wanted to marry earlier on in her life. So sometimes we don't like the answer, but it's a good answer. And I just want to look at three things out of this passage, which are friends, faith, and fruit. Very simple at this time of day. And a value for us is friendship. And friendship is written into this passage because Jesus taught us his friends, and we also develop friendships with each other. Friendships take a lot of time. Friendships take a lot of love. And love involves sacrifice. If you look at verses 14 and 15 for a minute, it says, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business, but I've called you friends. We call each other friends, and Jesus calls us his friends as well. It is particularly difficult, perhaps, in a continent like Europe. I really want all of you to go and put your hands on that map as a kind of symbolic gesture of commitment to pray for us as we pray for all of each other around the world before the end of the evening. Not right now. Just before the end of the evening. We are wanting to love each other across different cultures and different languages. Steve was telling us earlier how it's a really good thing to be rude in Israel. That is right, isn't it? I know, kind of how you were saying it. But, you know, sometimes there are things that we think we're doing right in another culture, and actually we end up insulting the other culture because we haven't listened carefully enough. And when we went to live in France for 10 years, we actually did not very much except listening for a year. I'm sure you won't be able to believe that when you've heard us both talking, but we did a lot of listening to try to understand where God had sent us. So friendship is a key principle to ask. And I'm just talking about these things because this is what I'm seeking to embed as I approach. You know, it is really daunting to try and plant ask in Europe, to be honest. It's huge. There are great people around, there are great things to do, but it's very daunting. And so that is one of my number one priorities, is building friendships. And I will explain a bit more about that on the leaflet. So these are just things that are valued to do. Secondly, faith. We need to have absolute confidence in God's purposes and sovereignty. We all know that when we're confronted with things we understand that God has called us to do, we're sure about that, but they're too big for us to do. And we don't know how to do them. But then we need to come back and read this verse in John 15. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. We've chosen. And we're not just chosen, we're also being appointed. It's really exciting to think that every person in this room has been appointed to a task and also a place in Acts 17. Verse 26, it says, so every one of us is put in a specific place at a specific time for a specific purpose. That is my translation of that verse, but that's what it says. So we have to really have absolute trust and faith in God. And just as friendship is built through love, love also involves obedience. Love involves sacrifice too. And if we look in verse 12, I think, 13, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And for our friends, our friendships are going to be sacrificial because, you know, sometimes we travel a long way for our friends, Charles, don't we? And we may do other things for our friends. Friendship is deep and it's precious, but it also is going to be, and it needs to be, and it is sacrificial. And our friendship with God involves obedience. It says in verse 10 of this passage, "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love." Obedience and love are totally interconnected where our response to God's calling is concerned. So all these things are woven together in a tapestry. Obedience, sacrifice, friendship, love, trust, confidence. And we all know that we really need all those things because we know that we're little. I think we had a wonderful person who was involved in Lydia for many, many years, and now she lives outside of Oxford, and she's a mother, really, a mother in Israel. And I remember her saying when ARCE began how she felt that ARCE was like an SAS troop. That's what we have in, I don't know what they are in the States, what's the equivalent?
Marines.
Okay, so it's an SAS troop, a kind of crack troop. And it's interesting to me that ARCE is not, I don't think any of us is really kind of, we're not seeking, you know, the kind of 10,000 strong conference settings, even though we may find ourselves at such an event as an asker representing ARCE. But somehow we find ourselves in these intimate gatherings. We have intimacy with the Lord, and we actually have intimacy with each other. And the root of the word intimacy has to do with friendship, actually. So this is a close commitment and to each other and engagement with each other. So that's the second thing. Friends, faith. I could have called it trust or love, but I had to be S so that you'd remember it because it's late. And the last one is fruit, obviously. Fruit. So I believe great fruit has been born through us in many different nations, but also across the generations. And we need to ask for much, much more fruit of all kinds. Answers to prayer, yes. And the main answer that we want in prayer is for people to come to know Jesus Christ and to have their lives reorientated and to see the kinds of changes going on that Peter was talking about this morning in society. We want to see transformed cultures and society. We want to see Christianity being the gospel of the kingdom, don't we? So that, you know, all these things have been said, really. There's been lots and lots of kind of confirmation coming all through the days that we've spent together. So fruit. I then asked myself, well, so what kind of things last? Fruit, because we're called to bear fruit that will last. And then he gives us this promise that we can ask for things. So as I'm looking at this continent, which for Charlie and myself is really daunting, in a sense, to think about trying to go into all these nations. You know, we know that if we honour these priorities, friendship, faith, and fruit, we will see fruit as we go forth into the nations. And that is indeed what God is doing with us. And I just want to, I'm going to talk a bit more, I'm going to hand over in a minute to Jenny, but I believe we are called to do really good networking in our continent and between our continents. And effective networking can be built on two completely different things. It can either be built on trust, which is what we are doing within us, or it can be built on personal profit. And there are lots of networks that are highly efficient, but they're built on personal profit. They are not godly networks. For example, the mafia. They are really efficient about networking. The banks are really efficient about networking. The trafficking networks of slavery and prostitution, they are very efficient and effective in their networking. And God is calling us to be equally efficient and effective in our networking through our prayer and our asking, our crying out to Him. And it's a challenge to us as Christians to come up to the level of the secular and humanist networks that operate so very effectively right across our, I mean, we don't have time to have a great long thing with statistics, but you know, the number of people who are brought over to things like the Olympics, for trafficking purposes, it's all very efficient. And we need to be the people who will rise up and pray that God's networking would be more efficient, and God's networking is to do with individual encounters that reveal Christ Jesus and turn people's lives around. We've heard of lots of different examples. So just before I hand over to you, Jenny, sorry, I just one more thing. The kind of fruit that is born through entering into the principles enshrined in this passage are deep connections that happen between people. Now, after Jenny speaks, Sasha and Susha, who've come from Kaliningrad, do you know where that is? Okay, can you point to that, Charlie? It's just up on the... here is a bit of relationship history. Lucy has been in after the US for a long time. Lucy's been going to Russia for many, many years, 15, 16. And then you got in touch with me when I've been asked to go to Europe. But last summer, and I am rather obsessed about the next generation, so I asked Matthew to come with me. So Matthew and I went to Kaliningrad last summer, and we met Sasha and Susha, who are going to come and tell us a little bit about what they're like in Kaliningrad, which is part of Russia. And you see how these networks of friendship work. Mm-hmm. And then Lucy and I together, and I probably spoke to you as well, we said, wouldn't it be great if Sasha and Susha could come to Israel next year? And we all began to pray, and the rest is history, here they are. And so this is how God works to build, and there are many, many of us in this room who have many deep, long roots and long histories together. The other area that I just quickly want to talk about is Macedonia. Can you just point out where Macedonia is? So we have some friends. Everybody wants to go to Oxford because the whole world wants to study in Oxford, and then they can say they've been to Oxford. And the two people who came to Oxford are a remarkable couple who are working in Macedonia called Costa and Nada Milkov. They have all sorts of doctorates, they're very academic, and they run something called the Balkan Institute of Faith and Culture in Macedonia. And we have developed a very good friendship with them over 4, 5, 6 years now. And Charlie and I have both been there. You've been there 3 times. I've been there 2x. And you just have that heart. You talked to Stuart about meeting these guys and having that instant kind of... Sometimes you meet people and it's as if you've known them for a long time.
Yeah.
Which I don't think contradicts the fact that friendships take a long time to build, that there is a kingdom dynamic within friendship principle as well. And so Costa and Nada, we went out there this year, we did a day, and I talk about art, but I'm just sewing all the time, and I'm waiting for the right person in that nation to suddenly pop up and say, what is this art thing? I want to know all about it. It's interesting to me, the kind of thing that happens to you. This time while we were there, this is the kind of event that we experienced with them. Nada, the woman, she runs a publishing company. The reason they're not planting a church is because in Macedonia there are lots of divided communities. The Orthodox, the Catholics, the Evangelicals, and none of them really like each other. So if they were to plant a church, an evangelical church, that would immediately exclude them from, or make it very difficult to build relationships with the Orthodox church or the Catholic church. And so they decided, we asked them to plant a church, and they very wisely said no. And so they've opened the Baltic Institute of Faith and Culture, and they have enormous access to the Orthodox community, the Catholic community, the Muslim community. Costa has been into the Muslim community to talk about Jesus at one of their festivals, and they have friendships all over the place, and they are longing to have a building that they have found in the middle of Skopje, where Mother Teresa was born, by the way, in Macedonia. Did you know that? Lots of people, when I say that, they say, I had no idea she was born in Macedonia. So we went to this event where Nada was launching a book from her book publishing company, and at this event, 4 different people spoke about this book, which is a book by somebody called Henry Nguyen, who wrote lots of books about prayer. So it's a book about prayer. They have a very good friend who's an Orthodox priest. They have a good friend who's a Catholic priest. We were there, And so the Catholic, the Orthodox, Charlie as a Protestant, and Costa as a free evangelical. So four different types of Christians all spoke in unity, and it was the most wonderful model of finding unity and doing something together, which blesses the people and has power within itself. And so I have got a little dream, which I think God is planting. This is one thing I'm going to ask you all to pray about, which is I feel that the time is coming when we need to have an us gathering in Europe, and I feel at the moment I'm waiting to hear from the Lord. I think I'm hearing, but it needs to be in Macedonia. And the reason for that, when Peter started talking this morning about the way and how where it went from here, how they weren't allowed to go east into Syria and they had to go to the man of Macedonia, I felt that was another little sign. Added to which, how can I even be thinking this, I asked myself. And I think the reason I could be thinking it is perhaps because of the friendship that has developed. The people are on the ground who can help. And so it just might be possible. I'd like to ask you to join us in prayer. So obviously this is very exciting for me, and I think it would be an amazing thing. And there are all kinds of reasons why I think Macedonia would be an extraordinary venue. So as just to cotton on to what Bev was saying earlier, it's a little bit cheaper than some places as well. Maybe you're talking about the trains being expensive. So. But God is a provider. Jenny, come and tell us about the UK.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Jenny Bailey, and really I bring greetings from the UK. Anita and Charlie are, of course, extremely important and special to us, and to us as a team of people. And I'd like to introduce some of the other team members here. Is this to tell me to speak up a little? Yes. Could I please introduce you to some of the UK team who are here with us today? And so there's Jane. Jane, would you mind standing? And Jane is the treasurer for the UK. But also currently, though, we are helping Anita sort of administratively in terms of finance and in communication with our UK newsletter. Is also aimed also to cover Europe. Just at the moment, as is the UK website, is also aimed to also be useful and fruitful to other nations of Europe at the moment. So we're partnering and working together and supporting Anita and Charlie in what they're doing. So we have Jane, and we also have Jane Askew, also with Mike, her husband. Jane and Mike are working a great deal with YWAM. But Jane and Jane Bradford have been involved from the beginning of us being called to consider the foundation of AFS Network in the UK and Europe. Liz Percival sends her greetings to you. Liz looks after our network or our internet and the website as well. And also Leslie, who is not able to be with us, but she has a ministry in working with people in pro-life work. Liz works very much and her husband to do with working with the family and working and supporting marriage as well. And so they send their greetings to you. And then I would like to introduce you to our group. Really, we're our next generation team and are now on our UK team. But also, as Anita has already said, with great flexibility to travel to Europe or anywhere else. Jane was chatting with somebody, I think, and it was an invitation possibly to go to Africa, and she suddenly leaps at the idea she would love to go to Africa. She's going off to Australia with Celia and Stuart later in the year. And so there's a great deal of flow and of really flexibility about where we would be loving to go as well. So I'd like to introduce Matthew to you. Matthew has been really with the Next Generation team, as you're waving. He's been responsible for really a great deal of the Next Generation conferences, the administrative side of it, the conception of it as well, along with others. Hanny as well, I'm going to introduce Hanny. Hanny is an excellent Bible teacher with exceptional promise, as Matthew has too, and now Aidan, who is her new husband, and is now on the team and has been leading worship as well. We also have Lauren, who leads worship, who has recently had a baby and not able to be with us, but she's also on the team. So they've been part of the Next Generation team with Anita and Charlie, and they're also leaders within the UK with great potential to travel anywhere as we might need them to do so as well. And as Anita said, our relationships are the key, our trust and love of one another through difficulties and circumstances over many years together. And also greetings from across the geographical area of the United Kingdom. And the United Kingdom you'll see on the map there, but also on the back of the map here. and so we have England, Ireland, Scotland and Wales, and the Hebrides and the islands around it as well. And we are an interesting people group, and from which many, I think, of the heritage of people in this room may well actually have well come from whichever nations you may go to, but there would be a relationship historically with these islands as well. The task of carrying the vision of ASK, International ASK Network, is something that I have mused on for many years now. What does it mean to gather and to really to walk within the vision of ASK Network? I'm a great one for loving material and handouts and things. I need them for myself and I love them as tools to share with other people and to share with them. And we have in the UK, thanks to Celia and Stuart coming over, we were helping with an LL conference at which ASK Network was partnering with LL Ministries a couple of years ago, and they brought over many tools for us to share, including in their luggage, asking with the Word of God, asking with fasting, praying for the nations and praying for tribes, etc. And these, for us to muse together on what the vision is and the gathering of all generations. And this is really what we have demonstrated through what Anita and Charlie's vision, Anita particularly for the Next Generation, through the Just Ask and Next Generation conferences for about 9 years. The team as well has done something called the at-home hospital. Yes, St Aldate's is like a hospital. It is a place where we come home, but it also is a place where we're repaired and we're kept and we're washed by the Word of God. And for me personally, to be associated with St Aldate's, as well as I go to a Methodist church in Knutsford, which is in South Manchester, but the ministry of my church and where I am there, to be a member of us, but also the calling holistically that's on my life to be a Christian wherever I am, I carry what ASK represents as well as how the Lord is leading me to integrate into my own local church as well. But I have the privilege of going to St Aldate's and being within the Methodist community, but also being able to interact interdenominationally and to network as well with the ASK hat on. So we're gathering all generations and we're praying for all nations. And within the call to pray for all nations, within the United Kingdom, we have so many nation groups living within our towns and our cities, our villages. Therefore, I muse and meditate on what this means. I personally rarely feel a call, like Jane would suddenly say, yes, I'd love to go to India or to Africa or to Australia. I feel very grounded and in this call to the United Kingdom. And therefore I have to discover how I would express the vision of the nations within my own area, my own nation. And every nation of the world is represented within the United Kingdom. As we know with the other nations that are represented here, you will also have other nation groups coming to live there. And so therefore, where in Psalm 2, we speak of the nations, but also it says, for concern for the nation and for the ASK members and for the body of Christ, that they will kiss the king and they will serve the Lord with fear, with trembling, and they will kiss his feet, or he will be angry and you will perish on the way. And within the scriptures that are given for ASK Network, I've been meditating in them and I have a deep heart concern, which really I think brought about the sharing with Cheryl last night, about how the concern that our ASK members will kiss the feet of the king, and people in all the denominations and others as we go with a missionary call wherever we go, we would be aware and discipling and bringing people to kiss the feet of the king, because pastorally we love them and care for them. And we are asking the God to do what only he will do. And this means that we need, as individuals and within us and within the body of Christ, to know who he is, to know his character and his nature. And within this, he challenges us to be Christ-like, to model his character and nature. And so within the ASK groups and within ASK, we care to that our people, and we ourselves as leaders, and also the people within the ASK groups, are modelling a Christ-like character where the fruit of the Spirit is being worked out in their lives, that they will choose to love, choose to be gentle, choose to be kind, and have self-control in circumstances, so wherever they go, and to be filled with forgiveness, and to work in reconciliation, and which is, you know, working together with the groups in the reconciliation, is so important to us that we will be modelling this vision of asking and what does it mean within our own lives and within our own nations, and then to do whatever he asks of us. Doing whatever he asks of us implies, as well as Anita's already said, about intimacy and knowing him and loving him and serving him. And therefore, within that, hearing and listening as we meditate through the Word of God together, that we would also be willing to do what he's asking us to do. This could be just ask next generation conferences, at home conferences, which I'll refer to again shortly, and also within our groups, where Jane has, as one of the group members or a small group in Cambridge, mentioned to her that their heart was to pray for the Muslim people. And so Jane is listening to the grassroots people of ASK and then thinking, right, well, how do we do this and to liaise and gather with? In the north, I have people who their hearts are on fire for Israel, and they are asking to understand more about Israel. And so even before we came here, there's someone called Howard Morgan that I have met recently, and I'm wondering about asking Howard to speak, he's a messianic believer, to speak to the people in the north, and particularly as well those people who are in ASK feel called to be a house of prayer. And I remember being in Chicago, Zion, with you all some years ago, and Celia and Lisa had put up a tent within the gathering, and I've mused upon this tent. And what does it mean? I do muse upon these matters. And the tent for me, the tent is, as I enlarge the place of your tent. But also what this has meant to me over the years is the enlarging the place of your tent over your towns, cities, villages, over the askers, but that we would be within that tent a tent of meeting and a house of prayer for all nations. And because of the grassroots and because of Matthew, for instance, in Oxford, set up a house of prayer in Oxford, there is a real movement of house of prayer and connection, and Hanny and Aidan have been through IHOP, to the house of prayer. So therefore, when I hear people going and what is happening, then it makes me muse and wondering, as I'm wondering about leading the people, and knowing the destination the Holy Spirit is taking us, and prophetically where are we going, but this tent is moving, and it is networking and getting to know and partner with others with the same vision. And so therefore, doing whatever else of us, within the Skelm Sail Group, which is a little group in a really poor area of Lancashire in the north of England, when Riona Jolly, who's been associated with us and Lydia historically, came to speak there, and we had a gathering in LL, but also she spoke to all the askers, she said, challenge them to go and do whatever the Lord is asking you to do. And so that group of people picked it up, and what they did, they joined the street pastors in Skelmsdale. So instead of meeting in their ask meeting within the place that they'd normally met, they went out into the town and they meet in buildings on their ask evening. They changed it to fit in when the house, when the street pastors were going out. They offered their time as well as askers to go on the rota to be street pastors, but they have prayed for that town and that city. And they have gone to where the people are, so their tent of meeting moved because they heard God say, go and do this. So they're still askers. And we had a lovely meeting there, Jane, didn't we, a couple of Octobers ago in Skelmsdale, where the askers within their church, the Anglican Church there, and with the pastor's permission, he welcomed us there. And then we as asked, and they invited all the people from the city to come to that. There's a small group there, which is ASK, which is about actually dealing with immigration. And so there are lots of Polish people, Romanians, and others coming to live in this small city, which is a very, very poor city, and in which they all came and we prayed for the nations. They invited the people who had moved into their city. They invited the street pastors. They invited the people who work with the youth, the social workers, the teachers, etc., the people from business, and the schools and social services were represented there. And the askers did this, and they prayed for them and prayed for their city so that they are engaged and involved with this. I really must watch the time. I'm so sorry. Yeah. Yes, okay. So therefore, in the nation, we've had national gatherings which reflect our call, so that we have had gatherings to pray. Just recently, we've had a meeting within Coventry Cathedral that Celia came to join us, which was about reconciliation within the body of Christ. We've had our at-home conference. We're here in Israel this month. In June, Jane will be responding to her group of askers, and this will be made available to anyone within us to go for teaching on the Muslims, possibly one to do with the Messianic Jews. And then in October, we will be having our ask gathering in St. Aldate on praying for Europe. That will take place. We communicate with our asking point, with asking matters. I would ask you for prayers, please, for how we engage and communicate. We have a number of people on our details, which whom we send information about ask to, that we have met at meetings, but we have not. We are engaged with them and speak with them if we can. But I was talking to Cheryl about how we might be able to have a telephone link with people. How do we link? So I would ask prayers for you for the development of ASK within the United Kingdom and for the nurturing of leaders within England, Ireland, Scotland and Wales and the islands as well. I'd like to just read to you just from, have I just got 1 minute? Yeah, just 1 minute. And how the vision of ASK really within the 1 John, and I want to thank the Next Generation team and for their vision for at home. And I hope that this will, how it was, and therefore 350 people from St. Aldate came to what had been a gathering for Just Ask previously, that they'd all been invited to. And within one of our scriptures, which is 1 John 3, and I will start here at verse 22, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we watchfully obey his orders. And this is in the Amplified Version. We observe his suggestions and injunctions, and we follow his plan for us. and habitually practice what is pleasing to him. And this is his order, his command, and his injunction, that we should believe in and put our faith and trust in and adhere to and rely on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, which is what we've been brought to in our journey here to Israel and Galilee, and that we should love one another just as he has commanded us. All who keep his commandments, who obey his orders and follow his plan, and live and continue to live, and to stay with and abide in him, and he in them, they let Christ be at home to them, a home to them, and they are the home of Christ. And by this we know and understand and have the proof that he really lives and makes his home in us by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. And I just want to explain to you that these young people heard the Lord and they have acted out prophetically about being at home and that where they're at home conference. And also, I'd like to thank them for the Love CD. Fish Love? The U CD, which also scriptures and meditations that these young people have put together, they also have meditated in, where they speak about a prophetic call for Britain, the United Kingdom, to heal the wounded hearts within them, for the revival and transformation of the nation of the United Kingdom, for the revival and transformation for the rest of Europe, and how we are partnering together in doing this to bring us full circle to support Anita and Charlie in the work that they're doing. So, thank you.
We really do need prayer for, as Jenny said, for Scotland, Ireland and Wales. We're looking for people. We're looking for people, actually, and in all the other nations. And we're going to pray. Guys, we need you to be 10 minutes. Well, we do want to pray, do we? Okay. You do your... Are we okay to go later? Can we go later? Can we go later then? Yeah. Okay. Okay, you're fine.
We are fine.
You're fine. Let me move that thought for you.
Good evening, dear brothers and sisters. My English is pretty bad. Поэтому моя жена будет говорить.
So my wife will be interpreting for me.
Мы из России.
I asked him to be quieter so that I would be louder. We came from Russia.
Нас зовут Ксюша и Саша.
Our names are Ksusha and Sasha.
Знаете.
You already know it by now, probably.
Мы будем коротки, но я не могу не сказать
brief,
благодарность за то, что мы здесь оказались. Мы так благодарны вам.
We are very thankful to the Lord and to all of
время,
you, because
it's
been a wonderful time for us here, and we see that it was the purpose of the Lord to bring us here.
Вот,
so we were very blessed.
Я слушаю ситуацию, вот как Чарли рассказал, про Европу. Я вообще понял, что
Charlie,
нам вообще не нужно,
Europe,
не нужно выходить из молитвенной комнаты.
I realized, but you know, we need to just stay and live in a prayer room. You know, it's better for us not to ever leave it.
Потому что столько работы у нас.
Because there is much labor in front of us.
И удивительно, что вот это служение настолько важно, так как
I realize that it is very important because we are united, we have unity, we go in the same direction in this ministry. And I believe that God will make it bigger and bigger, as
they say.
Because we do not probably realize what a power we have in unity, when we pray in unity. Because everybody prays, but...
Когда Господь говорит, что двое или трое соберутся, там я буду среди вас. Это значит,
с вами.
То есть, когда мы молимся в таком единстве, то Он среди нас,
unity,
как бы
физически.
Я коротко все. Я коротко расскажу вам России, чтобы немножко понимали, какие у нас молитвенные нужды.
Understand
Россия большая страна, где-то 1/6 суши.
Russia is the largest country in the world, territory-wise.
Вот. Население у нас небольшое.
The population is not very big, it's only 142 million people.
Россию можно назвать как бы котлом наций.
They say that Russia is a part of nations.
Больше 100 наций живет в России.
We have more than 100 nations living in our country.
И в то же время можно назвать Россию жерновами наций.
They say that it's a millstone of nations.
Потому что, ну, такова российская история. Вообще, понятие русский, то есть это, в принципе, знаете, такое растяжимое понятие, потому что настолько перемешаны.
It can hardly be defined.
И Господь так сделал, что России довольно тяжелая судьба.
Russia has a
very hard history. Если каждая страна может сказать, что у нее был золотой век, у России такого времени нет.
Most every nation in the world can say that it had a golden age. Russia has never had it.
Вот, то есть 900 лет назад приняла христианство.
Russia became Christian.
С тех пор это были войны, кризисы.
And after that time it was wars and crisis.
Как бы гигантская испытательная площадка.
It's like a huge place of test, like a test place.
И я хочу, чтобы вы просто немножко лучше поняли, кто такие россияне, русские россияне.
Вот,
то есть, в то же время Россия одна из тех стран, которая никогда не нуждалась, одна из немногих стран, которая не нуждалась во внешнем освобождении. Вот, то есть, поэтому, знаете, это привело к чему, что русские, они такие, может показаться грубоватыми, очень прямыми.
Maybe what would seem to you being rude people, they are very straight, upfront people.
Начиная там с монголо-татарского ига,
starting with the Mongolian captivity,
потом Наполеон, например, захватил.
Overcame and then Napoleon came in.
Ну, остановился в России и обратно как бы. Россия, ну, русские в Париже были, да?
Went to Paris and liberated Paris.
Потом
Гитлеровская
Германия.
Second World War.
Тоже остановилась в России.
И
опять же возвратилась, ну, обратно. Это
Russia
все привело к тому, что Россия понесла очень большие жертвы. То есть, ну, например, в Великой Отечественной войне, во Второй мировой войне около 40 миллионов погибло.
War, we lost almost 40 million people.
Вот. Еще 30 миллионов Сталина.
And then 30 million were killed during the time of Stalin and
после Второй мировой войны фактически остались только женщины.
After the Second World War, we basically had women and handicapped
men. Вот это такой исторический фон. И я хочу перейти к духовному. На основании этого всего очень много горя. Испытали как россияне.
Went through a lot of suffering.
Знаете, но враг всегда хочет использовать что-то особенное, чтобы Евангелие не распространялось.
Something to stop the gospel in the
nation. Это простые вещи, я вам сейчас скажу.
Sometimes those are simple things. Maybe you will not even believe.
But
in Russia he uses such a simple thing as alcohol.
Вот. Это на фоне всего того, что он рассказал. Как бы Россия пила, пьет, я не хотел бы сказать, будет пить, я надеюсь, что...
It Russia drank, it drinks, and we do not want to say
that
it will drink.
Мой дед погиб от алкоголя, когда я был маленький.
My dad died with alcohol when I was a
little boy.
And we find this problem almost in every family in Russia.
И знаете, если вы скажете, я христианин, в России, то первое, что они вас спросят, ты что не пьешь?
If you say to someone in Russia that you are a Christian, the first thing they ask you will be, so it means you do not drink alcohol?
Потому что
everyone will ask that question.
Мы подумаем, ну христиане как-то не пьют.
Christians do not drink in Russia.
Потому что это первое свидетельство.
Because this просто is our first. We decide not to do it.
Вот, потому что, ну, мне лично кажется, что это та зацепка, та стратегия дьявола,
that we do not drink alcohol. We are free. We can be free. The Lord told me that this is very important.
То есть это первая такая молитва, потому что это покрывало на
глаза. Из-за этого просто
вещи,
people,
то есть разрушаются вообще просто полностью жизни людей. Мы как бы служим сиротам в России.
And
вы знаете, где-то 80%
that alcohol brings, destroys families and orphans. And God has called us to work with orphans. And according to the statistics, every fifth child in Russia is an orphan.
Если вы спросите русскую женщину, какого дьявола ее мужчина, она скажет, не пьющая.
If you ask a Russian woman, what is your idea of a perfect man, she will say, the one who doesn't drink. Meaning, drink alcohol.
Вот, то есть это первая как бы духовная нужда,
right.
которая.
This is what the enemy uses most of all. It's not drugs, but alcohol.
То есть второе это огрубевшая российская.
The second thing is that the soul, the heart of Russian person is very hard because of all the sufferings. You know, people became.
Если вы бывали в России, ну с одной стороны русские очень гостеприимные, с другой стороны.
If you've ever been to Russia, Russians are very
hospitable
people. I seem to be open, but they do not receive the gospel easily. Their hearts are very hardened.
И еще следующее можно?
The next, yeah, please.
То есть мы живем вообще не на территории большой территории.
Separated island of Russia. We are separated from the main body of Russia. We are part of Europe.
То есть мы как бы относимся в середине Европы. Это бывшая восточная
Пруссия. Prussia and Germany before the Second World War.
И это очень темное место.
And this is a very dark place.
Вот, потому что опять же исторический фон, то есть это был город
крепость. It differs from Russia because of the background of the territory. It used to be called Königsberg. It was part of Germany and it was a fortress city. It was built as a fortress.
И несколько сотен тысяч солдат русских погибло при взятии.
We lost a few hundred thousand Russian soldiers when they were fighting there during the Second World War.
И особенно почему такое темное место? Мы верим, что, Гитлер как бы этот город принес в жертву.
We know that Hitler sacrificed the city. At the end of the war, when he knew that he was losing, he did not evacuate the people from the city. No one. He left everyone there, and the troops left, but the people, the population, they left them there. And England and Soviet Union, they were bombing the territory hugely. And so those peaceful, how do you call them? Peaceful people, not military, civilians. A lot of them were killed.
И удивительно, что в нашем городе нас где-то 650 тысяч населения.
We have a little bit more than 600,000 people in the city itself, a million in the region.
И у нас где-то 2000.
And we only have
христиан.
About 2,000 of believers who know the Lord. All of them proclaim that they are Christians, you know, because of Russian Orthodox Church.
Я не знаю, как молиться, но я верю, что Господь откроет. Но
they do not know the Lord.
Очень сильно нужно молиться.
So we truly need prayers for this region. It is a very dark place.
Не проникает в сердца.
People do not open the hearts for the gospel. It's still a portrait of the enemy.
А, например, ну, такая статистика, что сирот, вот, мы служим сиротам, средняя продолжительность жизни сирот.
We would love to ask you to pray for the orphans in Russia and for the Christians to rise up, you know, and begin to minister to the orphans and begin to adopt the orphans, because they're not eager to do it. It's hard. Like in, from our church, no one has ever adopted anyone. Some people, they just cannot do it because there are certain regulations and they just do not have enough money, do not have enough space in their apartments or houses. But there would be, that is a huge prayer need, because we have so many orphans. And this is the statistics about the orphans.
Ну, средняя продолжительность жизни
30 лет. 30 years. What is 30 years? Lucy, help me. I forgot the word.
Life expectancy.
Thank you. I did not remember the word expectancy. Life expectancy of a Russian orphan is 30 years old. Only one out of the 10 of orphans will have a normal life. Others will commit suicide or will end up doing what their parents were doing. Drinking, you know. A lot of them are involved in prostitution.
Это наши проблемы, которые мы хотели бы вам потому что понесет нами
point.
Мы понесем ваши
prayer request.
Потому
so
что Европа
I would like us to, I think what we should do is just pray, don't you?
Yeah.
Could you just pick this up for a minute? We're obviously dealing with a lot of nations here. Thank you so much, both of you.
Thank you.
Wonderful to have real people from a nation in Europe, apart from the UK, with us. Yes, they run camps for orphans in the summer. If you would just take this for a minute, you'll see that there are several nations mentioned. These are all nations with whom we have relationships, and most of these have got a little picture of people. I'm not expecting you to take on board these particular people, but I've just done that by way of illustrating the fact that we are about relationship as a network. And so all of these different people work in these different countries, and everything that is written on this sheet have come from those people in those countries. I didn't make any of this up. They all sent the material in. And so they are different. And so they say what they do, but then the prayer needs for each nation have come from within that nation. And I suggest that you add onto that paper, because Sasha and Patricia, I haven't written those down on here. But the three main prayer needs they have asked for are the orphans in Russia, the alcoholism, and I've added here the spilt blood on the land.
Yeah,
now, the spilt blood on the land is not exclusive to Russia. There is a lot of spilt blood on the land of Europe for many centuries. And I would ask you to go to Hosea chapter 4, where there is a reference to this, that because of all that happens, bloodshed following bloodshed, the land mourns and all who live in it waste away. That is a biblical principle, that where there is sin and bloodshed, it affects the whole culture and every aspect of community living. So these things we need to pray to God that the blood of Christ would cleanse our nation. And specifically, they reference the bloodshed in Russia. So